Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comedy Solo Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99, the Comedy Channel. My name is Noam Dworman. I'm the owner of the Comedy Solo. We're here at the back table of the Comedy Solo. I'm here, as always, with my good friend, Mr. Dan Natterman.
Yellow.
We actually became friends on the show. We didn't used to be good friends.
Is that accurate?
I didn't consider you a friend. Were you invited to my wedding?
Yes, I was at your wedding, but I don't remember.
He's the best man, Noam.
I don't know if the wedding was pre or post. Podcast.
I think it was pre. The wedding was pre.
So I guess we were friendly enough for that.
Well, there were very few people who weren't invited. But we have as our guest, of course, and our producer, Periel Aschenbrund, is here.
Wow.
Yeah. She's also a comedian.
Did I see her grandfather on the History Channel bossing around Jews?
So she is a Jew, but...
Oh, really?
We have as
not
our guest...
Not a very German, I'm sorry.
Nick DiPaolo.
Hi, guys.
4 1-hour specials, including the recently released A Breath of Fresh Air, the aptly released A Breath of Fresh Air. He's been featured on Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn, the Comedy Central roast. He's currently hosts the Nick DiPaolo Show live every Monday through Thursday. Welcome, Nick DiPaolo.
11 a.m. Eastern. How are you guys?
And one of the founding talents of the modern Comedy Cellar, for sure.
That is high praise. This table, I had a lot to do with.
Absolutely. Let's get right to it. Nick is the guy who started the table.
That true?
That is true.
Every time I bring it up, somebody goes, Colin still goes, how do we know that?
It's absolutely the
Look
truth.
Look at me. In radio 40 years, I got the mic by my balls. How come I can't hear myself? Ow.
Have you told that story on the podcast before? Because I'd love to hear it.
Well, I lived in L.A., and I came back from literally the night I moved back from L.A. to New York. I had a set at the Cellar, but I was hungry like a young comic. And so I came down, and I had a set. I was standing at the bar with a bunch of the riffraff, and I said to Manny, I said, can't you, like, get a table and reserve it for the comic? I come back. This is why I love Manny. I come back the next night, and there's a table with a reserve for comedian sign.
That's amazing.
That's Manny, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're all man. I honest to God, he was one of my closest friends in comedy.
Did you know him that Nick has moved down to Savannah, Georgia?
Wait. Want to get to that?
No, I think it's really interesting. So, and you were around though, right?
I was around. I mean, I was around a lot.
You were playing guitar.
I was playing guitar, and I would come down.
Smoking a lot of weed.
We talk politics sometimes. But yeah, but that was a pivotal thing for this. A lot of the things that happen in every successful enterprise are just accidents. Tough Crowd came out of the table. You know, things like in ideology, we have these slate tables that people write with chalk. It's part of the real classic characteristics of the olive tree. This was an accident. We had the slate tables, and a customer says, yeah, you know, you should put chalk on those tables.
You're kidding me. I didn't know that.
Yeah, just and things happen by accident, and then they become part of the fabric of what makes you successful.
And every time I'd come down, your father would be drawing a map of Israel from 1967 with the chalk and fighting with Geraldo.
That's amazing. And did you always know that you were going to, like, take over? Like, did you love coming down here? Was it?
Oh, no. I didn't. I never wanted to take over. I'm not even particularly happy that I did.
The place has never been more successful.
It's the God's honest truth. It was not something I wanted to do.
You're an artist. You're at heart, no?
Yeah, I was enjoying playing music and
Noam's artist credentials are somewhat compromised by the fact that he's well-adjusted.
Yes.
He's
very well-adjusted. He loves being a father. He drinks and in moderation. That, to me, is not an artist.
That's a good point.
There's no
actually.
Torch. I feel he's not tortured sufficiently to be an artist, although he is technically very good in guitar.
But he could do anything. Where'd you go to school, Penn?
Penn, yeah.
Yeah, he went to UPenn.
Penn Law School.
Penn Law School.
Yeah.
I for years always didn't talk about being a lawyer because I felt that it hurt my credentials as a tortured artist.
Well, yeah. if you want to know, then we'll get on to it. I know I did certain things that were my accomplishments, like, you know, starting the Cafe Wa. I mean, the Cafe Wa was around the 60s, but it had been closed for 20 years, and we started it fresh and building it up, and the place is around the corner. But the one thing that I knew is that if I took over the Comedy Cellar, it would never be my success. No matter what my contribution to it, no matter what I do to it, it's still my father's
Your dad
thing.
Shadow you feel?
My dad what?
And you're living in your dad's shadow as far as business.
Yeah, so it's not my creation.
I know, but you came up with the Israeli salad with the feta cheese. I mean, some really... I mean, the profit margin on that alone is just...
But it's really easy to take something that somebody created and run it into the ground. I mean...
No, I'm not saying that I didn't... And even here, I mean, I've
You're like
things.
Donald Trump, admit it. You're
yeah,
like Trump. You took a... And you turned it into... It's never been more successful, Noam.
Yeah. It Oh, I thought you were... I forgot... I'm used to people saying you're like Donald Trump. That it usually I'm used to that being like a real between the eyes insult. Didn't even occur to me you
That's
meant it as
I left
a compliment.
This fucking city. Fuck them, anyways.
So I didn't want that, but I'll say this and we'll get on that. It what it has allowed me is to be a lot of time with my kids. The other things I was doing wouldn't allow me. So you know, I shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth. Okay. So Nick DiPaolo, I didn't even know you moved.
But
down
don't say it.
To what?
They don't want the name of the town mentioned.
You. Oh, I.
Didn't you just say it?
Didn't I say it?
You but just said it.
I thought I... Oh, Danny, did you say
it?
Okay.
We can beep it out.
I live in the Georgia area.
And I had no idea. A lot of people had no idea.
Yeah. I snuck out.
I knew because these guys won't move the night that we record for anyone. But when I said you were coming in and the only night that you could do it was not the night we usually do it, they said, oh, it's Nick. Okay.
So why did you move?
I wanted to be around people who had their heads on straight politically.
Is that
true?
I mean, it seems
that's
like that's
part of it. I lived in Westchester County, very liberal. Yeah, I mean, I live 4 miles from Hillary's house. And what happens is you start getting paranoid. I mean, people know me a little bit. When I go to the doctors, I get recognized or whatever. So, but it starts to, you know, they hate people like me and how I vote. And I would start getting paranoid. If the cable guy didn't call me back in 5 minutes, I'd go, that motherfucker's a liberal. He's seen my material. And then I'd do it with my dentist, and then I'd get kicked out of my gynecologist. And I, you know, so
but there's a lot of options for conservative towns other than Georgia. I mean, then it's certainly closer. You could go to, I mean, I assume Dutchess County, they vote Republican.
Where's that? Way up?
Dutchess is just like one county north of Westchester. Maybe two. It's Rhinebeck. I mean, there's other places, I'm
saying. But there's tons of people in New York.
Yeah, I want to drive from Rhinebeck to the Comedy Cellar.
Georgia is the point with all the other options?
I'll tell you why. Me and my wife went down there like 10, 12 years ago and loved it. I don't know if you guys have been there before or whatever. It's like 1958 only. Don't jump on me. Racially, it's integrated. It's what this country should be. Black and white people. You see older black and white people having dinner together. And it's just a different feel. Right. We had the doorbell ring the other night. A couple girls show up like 10 years old. They have brownies and cookies for us because they saw the moving truck a couple days prior. I mean, where does that happen?
No, it doesn't happen anymore.
People walk their dogs and wave to you. And like I said, it's a nice racial mix. It's more black than white. I hate to break, you know, my reputation.
Do they know you there?
Huh? Nobody knows me there. No, not a soul. But you know what the closing deal...
But they will.
You know what the closing deal was? The airport. You know, Norm, I used to come down here. I'd be out of my mind because of the traffic.
Yeah.
I'd be on the Sawmill Parkway.
Right.
I lived 38 miles from here. And it would take me an hour and 20 minutes some nights. And I'd be out of my tits. So I go down there, and I don't have a comedy club logo, but the airport is 19 minutes from my house. I found a 2,000-foot square studio to do my show from 3.5 miles from my house. And, you know, at this age, I'm about convenient living.
I get that.
You know?
And so but is it the case that, I mean, you really, you're a right-wing guy, and you weren't going to budge, and things have never been less fair to someone who wants to express a different opinion right now, and you don't want to break open your head in New York after a certain... I know you complained to me that you'd go on and tell your jokes at the Cellar, and even if 80% of the crowd was with you, if 20% are just, like, being prickly...
They really...
It kills the whole thing for you. And you're not that great at letting things roll off your back. Let's be honest.
Andy, do you agree with us?
And I don't blame you.
And you're all... But that's why I loved your old man, too. There was nights down here. Remember you sat me down? I've been coming here for 20-something years. And then one night, Mike, probably, what's it, 8 years ago, 10 years, you said, Nick, you sat me down. Your dad had already passed, I think. But you said, look... No, was he still around? No, he passed. But you said, you know, my dad loved you. You said, you know, I love you because you stick your thumb in the eye of political correctness. He goes, but you're making it hard on us now. And I didn't argue one iota because there was nights where I would leave here feeling bad about me losing my temper on stage. But you know, it's look, I'm behind enemy lines. I just walked through there a few minutes ago. Tom Papa was on stage. And I go, Tom, how are you? We had a little exchange. And he goes, the great Nick DiPaolo. I heard two people clap.
Can I say something?
Wait. Yeah. In a second. So are you doing the club?
Just what? Sexist pig.
Yeah. Are you doing the club scene down south at all?
I'm doing theaters. I get, you know, Tommy Nicky, my manager, the big Italian that sits over there in the corner?
No, I don't know.
You haven't met Tommy?
I probably know him by sight, but I didn't know
he's been coming down here how many years
now? I mean,
he
can come on if he wants, but
6'5", 360 pounds. He went to Penn State, literature major, Sicilian and Jewish. I didn't even hit it off with him. I met him up at his club in Albany, Saratoga Springs. Didn't hit it off the first couple times we met. I thought he was ripping me off, and which he was. So, anyways, I don't even remember, Ann. Do you remember how me and Tommy hit it off finally? I don't even remember. He shows up last spring, says, I want to do a Nick is Right tour. Shows up with a spreadsheet of all the counties that Trump won. I go, that's more thought. You put more thought into my career than all my managers combined in 30 years. So he puts that together. I said, I only want to do theaters. I don't care if they're small. Next thing I know, every weekend he's getting me at a theater. The Nick is Right tour went on for about 2 months. Friday night, one show. Next night, within driving distance, another show.
A great title.
Nick is Right. I have never seen anybody like this guy in my life. He goes to, listen to this. He goes to radio stations, terrestrial radio stations, that are losing money, right? They're like a dinosaur.
Right.
So they have a lot of free ad space. And what they do is run PSA announcements. So he goes to the stations and said, instead of running PSA announcements, I want to plug my live gigs. I'll give you $1 a ticket for every ticket I sell the gigs. But you let me have the where you guys are running PSAs. And
right.
He even gave him a little money. But whatever. Have you ever heard anybody do that?
No.
Or he takes comedians who are washed up from the 90s that were kind of famous. He'll put three of them together. And he says, I'll pay you a salary of 120 grand a year, but you have to do like 200 shows for me. He puts them on a salary.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of such thinking?
I mean, I don't know the business, but it sounds very enterprising and
well, for sure, as a manager.
Sounds like the Colonel Tom Parker.
Most
of
managers.
Yes.
Yeah. Most managers.
Drunken hoe. Anyways.
Most managers don't do a lot. They expect you to do everything, and then they're perfectly happy to take their 10 or 15%.
This guy, I have never. I said, look, we need social media, right? So what he does is he... you want to go, honey? You want to go sit over there so I can do my interview. I need social media help. So he goes out and finds it. He goes find some guys that are very good at social media, and lines it all up. You know what I mean? And meanwhile, he opened a club in Vegas at the Plaza Hotel.
Well, Noam doesn't want to hear
a comedy
that.
Club.
That's right. I forgot.
Is he here? He's here right now.
Yes. You have to meet him.
No, he can come on the air if he wants.
Yeah,
I don't know if he does.
I'll go get him.
Well, Periel can ask.
He's Sicilian and Jewish. He's 6'5", 360. He's scariest.
Right, but he's so nice.
Go
he's
get
the
him.
Nicest guy.
Wait, I just want to say something, though, because
just get him.
Go,
let me say something.
Go ahead.
This is for your consideration.
Yeah.
I am so left-wing. And I love you, and I think you're so funny and so smart. And I don't think it's true that it's just the politics. Like, I don't think it's true that, like, you can't appreciate or laugh.
Well, you're an old school lib. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
You're a lot more tolerant than these, you know, young progressives who fucking want to hang me.
No, but she's an idiot, okay? I mean, like,
that is so fucking rude.
She is so left-wing, Nick. She is so left-wing.
This is my manager.
Oh, he is big dude.
Sit down.
If you want to. You're not obligated.
Tommy, you
want to
sit down? Yeah.
This is Tommy from Saratoga.
Tommy Nicky, my manager, agent. And
he's a perfect combination of Jew and Italian. He's
Sicilian and Jewish.
He looks like one of the Sopranos.
He's got the business sense, but also the... I don't know.
That's the only thing Nick remembers about me.
Now, is your mom Jewish or your dad Jewish?
My mother's Jewish.
So he's a Jew.
But I was baptized.
That doesn't matter.
All right.
Were you responsible for this Breath of Fresh Air special?
No.
No, that was me. putting it together. And it was me who said, let's put it out there for nothing. So and I have a little Jew in me.
It was him who said, hey, let's move it up by 10 days and reschedule the theater and tell all the people to come out.
And he does. I call him because I was anxious to get this out there. And I said, I'm going to take a show. He's going to tell me to go shit in a hat. I go, can we move it up 10 days? I'm thinking he's going to say no. 24 hours, he texts me, done.
All right. This is the nice part of the relationship. And like 2 or 3 years from now, when it all goes bad, I want you guys to think back and remember how warmly we felt about each other.
Here's why it works, I think. The first time I actually sat with Nick at his house, we sat in his kitchen. I said, look, here's the deal. I'm not a fan. You know, I want to make money.
That's what he said.
That's good.
I'm not a fan. I want to make money. I said, just tell me what we got to do and what we can't do. He said, I don't want to get up and do press before noon. He says, I don't want to ever do a late show Friday again. And I don't want to fly unless I'm going to make real money.
But you saw that he had commercial potential that other people didn't see.
He saw me as a brand. Yeah. That's the Jew in him.
Well, clearly.
And what's the Sicilian in him? Is your brains or your signature on his contract?
Yes, I was going to say.
We collect
Nick
for
DiPaolo
every ticket
sold.
there is got to be, for a comic that has
I
the balls
him.
To be out there with his conservatism, there's got to be a treasure trove out there.
Yes,
you would
no.
imagine, because nobody is doing it, or very few are doing it.
We got a lot of rooms passing on us.
Well, and can I say something else about
that? Is that right?
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah, but God damn it.
So, you probably know this, but it should be said. You know, Nick DiPaolo is one of the most revered comics there is.
Yeah.
Like, at an average comedian dinner, more Nick DiPaolo lines are quoted than virtually any other comedian. The greatest comedians in the world, like from Louis to Colin Quinn to Robert Kelly. No. Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing. You're a damn good comic.
To Keith Robinson. I mean, everybody, all coming from different angles. That's different angles. Nick is something they can all agree on.
Yeah.
So yeah, you had a very very talented kind of underrated product to be selling.
Underexposed.
Well, he's worked for me for a dozen years. It's never a matter of being funny or not. It's just a matter of, you know,
nobody know me.
Well, he doesn't put himself out there. So people go, oh, I remember Nick DiPaolo from when he did Howard Stern. Oh, I remember Nick DiPaolo from when he did Tough Crowd. Or I remember Nick DiPaolo from when he did this or did that. But there's literally been nobody advocating business-wise behind him for a long time.
Underrated wasn't the right word. And underexposed is not what I'm trying to capture. It was interesting. It was similar with Geraldo, even though Geraldo had become very famous in a way. Mm-hmm. That people who knew Geraldo knew that what we knew was best about him was not what people were seeing on those Comedy Central roasts.
That's right.
And that's something about what I felt was always going on with Nick, too. The way we knew him somehow was not ever being captured when he was being seen in public.
I felt that way.
I don't know what the word for that is.
In a lot of conversations I've had with comics where they talk about what they really like about Nick, I think at some point in a lot of careers, you get pulled towards, am I going to do this a little different than I might want to because there's going to be dollars that way? Am I going to let somebody else tell me how I'm going to do my special? Am I going to let somebody tell me how I'm going to do my 10 minutes on Letterman? And Nick, you know, probably one of the reasons he hasn't, you know, been at that forefront financially is because he doesn't dance.
Yeah.
And a lot of comics, when you sit and you talk about these guys quoting Nick or talking about Nick, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, not being a hack. We talk about not, you know, not doing it strictly for the dollar. So is there a brand there? Is there something to market? Yeah, but it's because we're not putting a square peg in a round hole. The world has come around to what he does instead of him trying to come around to the world and fill in that gap.
Well, besides him, him and Trump are the best things that happened in my career. Honestly.
Keith wants to get in there.
Come on, Keith.
Yeah, Trump was... Well, go ahead. You explain why.
This is so typical. Black guys stepping on my heat. You know, I...
Let me see what's going on.
But I have so much trust in him, I will let him...
Not Trump. We're talking about your manager.
About my manager, Tommy. I will let him fiddle, get close to the flame for years. You know, my manager's an agent. So you got to do this. You got to smile with that type of shit. But Tommy said to me, like he said when we first met, I'm not a fan. I'm here to make money. Every agent, Dan, you probably know this. Every agent blows smoke up your ass, right, Keith? Oh, you know, big fan. They're yes people. Tommy did. That was so refreshing when he says, "I'm here to make a fucking buck," and he's made so many good decisions on my behalf. I actually let him. I've actually with some artistic questions. I've never done that with anybody. because I'm convinced I know what I'm doing. But I've never done that in my career. But if he says, look, he goes, we look at your most viewed YouTube videos. And he lists three reasons why they're the highest viewed ones.
What were they about?
It was comedy, anger, and what?
Anger, things that are trending, obviously,
yeah.
and being funny. At the end of the day, your brand is that you're funny and you're angry. Do you happen to lean right? Yeah, you happen to lean right, and we're going to grab those people. But your passion comes out in the form of anger, and you can put that in people's faces. A lot of people either have it and don't use it, or a lot of people just appreciate being able to see somebody who's not faking it. So.
It was a big deal. We put this special out, and Brian Regan goes on Twitter and says how much he liked it. Jim Gaffigan. These guys are icons. I mean, and Billy Burr sent me a text saying this special is good for stand-up right now. I mean, that means Norm MacDonald, he wasn't talking about the special, but he saw me on the Dave Rubin Report. Norm's my favorite.
You did the Rubin Report?
Yeah. That's how you know I'm moving up. But Norm MacDonald's my idol, one of my idols. My favorite comic maybe ever. And he said he called me a legend on Twitter. That was meant more to me than doing all the Lettermans and Tonight shows that, when people on Twitter, the haters come out and, you're a hack, blah, blah, blah. I go, yeah, you don't like me. But Norm MacDonald, Louis C.K. Attell. Billy Burr
That's terrific. By the way, do you answer your Twitter?
No, he kicked me off it. He saw me get on it one night and start pissing people off.
We have a whole group of people who are trying to take Nick down, so they'll try and find tweets that are 6 years, 8 years old and report them to Twitter to try and get him kicked off. So literally, at the 11th hour, we pulled everything out. I said, Nick, get off Twitter. Just get off it altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I go to check it just to see what the clips that they're choosing for my show, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he convinced me to get up at 6:30 in the morning now. My show's at 11 a.m. I prepare before I have to get up at 6:30 in the goddamn morning.
How'd you convince him?
There's more money if he's on the air from 11 to 12.
Exactly right. So, you know what I mean?
Glenn Beck's going to run up until about 10 or 11. People will stop listening. Limbaugh's going to go from noon on, then Hannity's in the afternoon. So you can compete with Hannity and Limbaugh, or you can do your own thing and try and change when and how people watch and listen and...
And I'm not as conservative as those guys, as you guys know.
And more importantly, he's going to be done on Thursdays. By noon, he can get on a plane and do a Thursday, Friday,
Saturday.
Dude,
it's like the Karl Rove of right-wing comedy.
That is actually a great comedy.
Figured out the
I don't even know his politics either.
Can we talk somewhat about
that? What are your politics?
I am a registered Democrat.
That sounds like a dodge.
But I actually...
said the lawyer.
No. I...
You agree with Nick on things?
I agree with Nick probably 51% of the time.
There you go.
That's not good.
It's perfect.
But as long as you both agree that you both want to make money, then that's really
look, it's
all.
Not, it's not all peaches and roses. I get some, these nasty text messages still at 6 a.m. or 11:30
like
at night.
What? From Nick?
Oh, yeah.
Nasty? You've never seen me nasty, John. The only time I get nasty is the first time I worked your club ever up in Albany.
Yeah.
And you fucking... One out of 2,000 emails you got, they said Nick mailed it in that night. And you sent it
you
to my...
You remember that.
You sent it... Yeah, goddamn right, I fucking hated you. Sent it to my agent. And then I thought I had a bonus coming, like, the next time I played your club.
Did you mail it in?
You've seen me a million times. Keith, have I ever mailed in a set my... If anybody gets emotionally involved,
you're
I'm like
too
Springsteen.
Emotionally involved.
Yes, I do.
Can I say my pet peeve with all the comics nowadays...
Yeah,
is that they are taking a side. Left or right. Comics come in and we try to find that one thing that's going to piss everybody off.
As long as
I don't want to take a left or right side.
Yeah.
Because the left is full of shit and the right is full of shit.
As long as you're being
but
honest.
Everybody wants what they want.
All right.
I think you should take a side if it's honestly, honest.
But here's the point,
a comic. No, I don't give a fuck.
Well, you should give a fuck, Keith, because there's a side trying to shut you down and me.
No. But
that's
I'm saying that's on the left and the right.
No, it isn't.
No,
the right's not shutting anybody down.
Yes, it is.
Who?
The right want what they want. The left want what they want. So if I take that one side, I'm not taking no side. I'm only looking at what's right.
So
you think
I have never gotten an email from anybody complaining about somebody being that somebody should be banned because they were too left wing.
Yeah, too liberal.
No. But I'm talking about it's a lot of shit.
But are you saying
I see the bullshit on the right and I see the bullshit on the left?
Keith, are you saying like you hate Donald Trump?
I can't.
Can't stand.
I think he's one of the dumbest men I've ever seen.
Okay, but so do you say that on stage? And if not, why don't you?
It's too easy. He would.
No, right. But of course it is, like you said, it is too easy. But what I'm saying is Trump, like in Vegas, almost got in a fight, right?
What a
this
shock.
Is real
with
shit.
With a white girl.
No.
At 3 a.m. in my room.
No. Yeah, well, yeah.
We said tips not included.
No, with a big white dude and his mom. The mom was like, oh, you're talking about the cops. You're talking about Trump. I don't say a lot about Trump.
No, you don't.
And but she said, yeah. And with that, I'm like, wait a minute. You got to relax. You act like Trump is the last white president. There's going to be more. There's going to be more white presidents. Stop acting like he's the last. He's just, you know, he's failing at what he does because he just...
He's failing.
Fighting words.
He's failing, yeah.
I'm too argued. I'm not going to fight.
No.
But I'm saying, it's like we...
Fighting words for Nick.
You know why he won?
Because of the left.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Noam, right. As a club owner, Nick goes on stage, does his thing, you get... shit ton of emails saying that this guy was offensive. He's a right.
Not a shit ton, but we.
No, it's a hypothetical.
A regular trickle.
A hypothetical situation.
Yeah. Can I? Yeah. Can I say this?
Well, let me finish my question here.
Your question is.
No, my question is Noam as a lover of Nick's comedy, but also as a lover of making money and not pissing off the audience. What do you say to Nick in a hypothetical situation where he's got a bunch of new jokes and everybody gets pissed off?
I usually answer.
No,
the only time I ever said anything to Nick was the time he talking about where he went at a customer personally with some was really mean to her. But if people are just offended by his humor,
I thought it was zesty.
I try to make sure he doesn't know about it because I don't want him to get thrown off. You know, if I see what they're complaining about, I'm like, well, listen, that's his shtick.
That's,
you know,
that's comedy.
Yeah, then I say fuck it.
That's comedy.
And your old man always have my back.
Yeah. But at the end of the day,
I don't like to tell you about it. I don't want it to get in your head.
But I'm glad you didn't know. Yeah.
But Noam's right. That's exactly the reason why I don't tell you when a room says, no, we're not going to put him on stage because of his politics. We don't have to have that conversation.
Why don't we sue those fucking fascist leftist fuck stains? How do you feel about
that?
Well, what do you mean?
You can't say
anything about are you in denial?
No. Wait a minute.
What?
I just told you the guy on the right got mad about what I said.
So what?
About Trump.
Don't try to compare censorship from the left and the right.
But that's the same thing.
Okay, one.
If you don't know.
For every one black comic that gets in trouble, there's 78,000 white conservative ones that get in trouble.
You're talking about
you play the seller in Vegas?
I don't want to do that, yeah.
I know you don't.
In Vegas, I don't want to play that color game.
I want to
play the real game of censorship.
Which is coming from the left.
Not one of those people complaining about you brought up your politics.
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm saying at the what you call it, they were mad that I was talking about cops and that I was talking about Trump, and I get a lot of that.
Yeah, I believe
that's
that.
Censorship.
Well, look, at the end of the day,
censorship.
An audience.
That's complaining.
That's complaining.
No. If you don't want somebody to say something, that's censorship.
No, it isn't. If they don't let
you
go on,
Keith, what you're doing, let me tell you.
Let me tell you. You're
picking and choosing what can be censored and what can't.
You're not listening, man. If they say you can't play a club because of your politics, that doesn't happen.
No. They say you can't play the Borgata talking about Trump.
No.
They say that.
Well, they're
okay.
He's right.
Look,
I'm agreeing. That's censorship.
Either you're for censorship or you're not.
No, that's censorship.
See, I'm for censorship on your side and on my side.
Have you been watching the news and watching YouTube? I shouldn't bring up the news. That's not relevant.
No, as a club owner, I mean, you know.
Get this black guy out of here. We have
No.
I didn't invite him.
As a club owner, I assume you respect the club's right to say to a comic, you're not for our room.
Yeah, of course. But I just want to say a few things. There's one thing for somebody to be offended by your joke, anti-Semitic joke, whatever it is. It's another thing, what they do on the left, is to try to mobilize a mob to then take action against you.
Yes.
Boycott. Yeah. get the club to stop using you. Like, whoever it was in Vegas that didn't like you, that was, they told you what they thought about you.
No, no, no.
But they didn't try to go on Twitter and rile
and
Keith Robinson.
You.
No, no, yeah. they do that, too.
And the thing,
they do that.
Well, they might do it, too, but they didn't have in your situation. And the thing with Laster in Vegas, the comedians were told, I'm not defending what happened. They said, do not talk about politics.
Don't talk about Trump. Meaning, don't talk about Trump.
But the difference is
Trump is
not
politics.
That's not censorship.
No. Well, hear me out, and then you can decide what you want to call censorship or not. The person who said that to him didn't give a shit about what he said about Trump. It wasn't like we don't want you say. It was just this. They knew the audience was not going to respond kindly. They didn't come for that.
Let me give some more information now.
Censorship usually has to do with a viewpoint favoritism.
Before you keep talking, let me give you some facts.
Yeah. Hey, Gilbert Gottfried.
They had Wanda stop working at Borgata because of Trump jokes.
All right, that is censorship. Then I stand corrected.
But again, Noam, as a club owner, you're a businessman. You're putting people on stage that you think the audience is going to like. So where do you stand on making decisions based on that?
But I'm asking you, Dan, what does it have to do with what I just said?
My point is I believe club owner has a right to say to book who he wants and not book who he wants. And I believe a comic has...
If you want me to believe that Wanda Sykes gets the same resistance as I or Steven Crowder, that's
a
fucking joke.
Do you know Gilbert Gottfried?
I know Gilbert.
I would like to...
He came on the Nick and Artie show and Artie wasn't there and he didn't say two words to me.
I just told you what happened at the Borgata.
Let's ask Gilbert because Gilbert's gotten through it. You want to ask him?
What do you want me to ask him?
About what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know Gilbert's politics.
Nobody
knows Gilbert's politics. All we know about Gilbert
is that wine Gilbert?
He collects shampoo.
I love it.
They're talking
they're getting rid of that now.
Getting rid of what?
Shampoo?
Yeah, they announced it today that hotels are getting rid of those little bottles.
Just the white ones.
Of shampoo.
I thought of you this weekend, Gilbert. I took two rolls of toilet paper from... from a hotel in Chicago.
I'll tell you.
I'll take
but
it.
Not because I'm cheap, mind you. I just hate when you run out of toilet paper.
I'm with you on
so
that.
So I'd rather just have the toilet paper.
I try to steal a pillow.
We were talking about the modern era and whether comedians are getting more and more censored and more worried about saying the wrong thing and more repercussions for saying the wrong thing. You've had some experience with that. You have any comments on it?
Are things
different?
Thank God I never lost work out of it.
That's why I love Gilbert.
Yeah.
A pioneer, man.
Yeah, Gilbert.
He would say what he wanted to fucking say, and what was the Aflac thing that cost a few bucks?
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Did you vote? I know you're not going to tell us who you voted for, but did you vote in the last presidential election, Gilbert?
No, I actually didn't. I don't even have.
You are a citizen.
Yeah.
He was busy that day. He was at a steakhouse stealing mints.
Yeah.
Noam didn't vote either, by the way.
And I'm surprised that
to me is cowardice. I know he says it doesn't matter.
It would matter because he was going to vote for Hillary and you're in a blue state.
I would have voted for Hillary, but I was in New York. It's such a waste of time.
Why is it a waste if you're voting Democrat? It's not.
You're going to
win
it.
I get your point.
Yeah,
definitely a waste for me. But I did it anyways.
I just feel like I like being part of the process.
Exactly.
You know, and
the purple finger. You dip your finger in.
I don't feel that way. I don't.
What do you know? You went to UPenn, you Ivy League fag.
Well, if we get on topic about censorship.
Keith. Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Well, I do want to get to a breath of fresh air, too.
What I was saying.
Can you do that then? Go ahead, man.
What I was saying is censorship goes both ways.
Oh,
it may go. Wait a minute. But you're so stuck on the left and the right. It's like, no, everybody does a little censorship. Everybody.
Okay, Keith, but it's not all equal. Everything's relative. Kicking guys like me off Twitter and YouTube for a joke does not happen to a fucking left-wing comic.
It just happened to a left-wing.
Oh, okay. For one, I'll give you 10. Who was it? What was the joke?
I don't want to go both for both, but either way,
it's not equal. You're wrong.
No matter what I'm saying, it's wrong. You keep talking about equal. I'm saying it's wrong either way to do it.
And
it don't have to be equal. You gotta go. If you're gonna go with the right, you gotta go with the left too.
I am.
Right.
I already made that point. I'm not arguing that point. I'm arguing it right now. There's a certain type of comic that's feeling much more censorship than another type of comic. That's
all wrong.
Yes.
Let
me give you two different scenarios. One scenario, and this I would compare this to a certain could be at a comedy club. Comedians getting up there and telling jokes from the left or the right, whatever it is, and it's offending a lot of people in the audience. It's bad for business, and the owner says, you know, we don't need this here. This is not good for business. And they censor the comedians. Yeah, that can happen to anybody. But there's another type of censorship where, it's a total hypothetical. Like
Tucker, and that you would do.
Hold on. Tucker Carlson. Hold on. Tucker Carlson, let's say, on Fox News, says something that his audience loves. Whatever, 5 million people that night watch it, they all like it. Someone who doesn't watch his show will get wind of it.
And try to boycott
him. And then try to use that to hurt him, to get him boycotted, to damage him. That's quite different. They weren't watching the show anyway. They're not reacting as customers of the show.
Right.
They're trying to bring powers to bear to censor him because they have an agenda the opposite of his. That, I think, is what Nick is talking about, and that's what happened.
Let me tell you, is that a fair difference?
Absolutely.
No, talking about is that's happening.
Do you understand my difference?
Wait a minute.
Do you understand my difference?
I understand the difference.
That's what I'm with Louis. It wasn't the people who were coming here to see Louis who were complaining. It was people who weren't going to come to the Comedy Cellar anyway who were trying to bring powers to bear on us so we couldn't let him perform.
What is what's the name? Omar.
Ilhan Omar.
Is she a left or right?
Left. She's left. Far left.
How many people are trying to shut her up?
I don't think anybody tried to shut her up.
They criticize her, Keith.
Let me get out of here. Keith, well, if you're not going to be honest, what the fuck is going on?
Look, is she still a senator?
No.
A congresswoman?
Congresswoman.
Is she still a congresswoman?
How did they try to shut her up?
What?
How'd they try to shut her up?
They try to get her censored. They try to shut her. People had death threats. She had people trying to kill her whole family.
Death threats. Nick, I had to buy a gun.
Hold on. Can I say about death threats? Did you hear today that Jay-Z was talking to the owner of the Warriors or something?
Yeah.
And Beyonce was mad. So the was talking to the wife of the owner of the team at the basketball game. This was on Twitter. And Beyonce was mad. And the wife of the owner of the basketball team was getting death threats.
Yeah.
Everybody gets death threats now. She was getting death threats because she spoke to Jay-Z in front of Beyonce.
Wait a minute. The right is trying to shut Omar down. I'm saying it's happening on both sides.
Okay, cool.
Let's move on.
I think we agree to disagree. It's not because
we want to get to Nick's special.
It's not 85% with Nick on this. I don't think everything you said is wrong, but I think you're missing the big picture, which is that a core belief of the left in 2019 is that free speech is a danger. And that is not a core belief of the right. And that manifests itself in certain ways on the left and does it on the right.
What I'm saying is Sarah Silverman got in trouble for yapping.
She's going to lose her career. she's going to lose her career out of fucking saying something controversial.
Kevin Hart got in trouble for yapping.
Yeah, he did. What did he say?
Everybody got in trouble from the lefty. Yes.
That's political correctness you're talking about.
Everything is still, that's censorship.
Right, but no, that was on the left.
No, it isn't. He still has a movie career, Keith. You don't know the definition of censorship. Tracy Morgan said if his baby was gay, he'd fucking kill it. He has a hit series on TBS. Think if a Jay Leno or if a Conan O'Brien said that, he'd still have a career.
But now you're onto something else. Now you're onto...
Nick, you're too on the right. You're so on the fucking right.
I'm on the
truth. You don't know. No, you're not on the truth.
You are. You're in denial, man. You're in denial.
You're so
like most
on
black people.
Right.
You're in denial.
A right and a left.
You're
shit
in denial.
You're part black. You got Italian man in you.
All right, I'll give you that.
There you go.
Your people rape my people. Can instead I, of the park, they
can
did
I turn it over to my calls, Dan? Dan Natterman, who has some questions.
First of all,
and bring Gilbert, Gilbert in too, please.
First of all, I'm not. I know that a lot has been said over the years about Italians being part black. I'm not sure that's true. I think that's.
I did the 23andMe. I'm more Irish and English than I am Italian.
Is that true?
Oh,
yes.
Shit.
How well, you had the last name.
I'm never going to do that.
I have the face.
Well, I don't think
do I look like I'm English and Irish at all?
You don't look like John Turturro.
I
mean,
no,
you're
I
not
don't.
The most Italian-looking
no,
person
right.
that I've ever seen.
My mother's, thank God.
There's
piece
nothing wrong
ass.
With being Italian, not looking. Italians are... Jews are very unproud of how we look, and I know Gilbert is made. I remember.
Well, you look Italian.
On the Howard Stern show, I right, used Gilbert? To say all the time, "The Gentiles with their good looks." But I'd say this about the Jews, and I don't know what your opinion on our people are.
I have an opinion.
I'm going to tell you.
Let me tell you.
Let me ask a question out.
I got it.
I have a very definite opinion on you.
We know what our strengths are, and we know what our strengths aren't.
No, you don't. Nobody knows what
people,
the strengths are.
People are intimidated by your smarts. That's why you're hated. Not because you killed Christ.
Is that why?
Not because you...
I don't never see... Wait a minute. I don't never see one Jew in a spelling bee. I see all Indians.
That's a good point.
We lost that.
Those are Hindus. They can spell, but they
lost.
Can't do math, and they don't know how to take 15%.
We lost the eye of the tiger somewhere when we left Brooklyn and went to Scarsdale. And then we just kind of got
but
lazy.
I defend Israel, and you know, like I said, your dad was one of my closest. He used to give me a ride home every day. He was one of my closest, smartest guys I ever met in my life. Yeah. And I've never, ever had a problem. I like that you can say Jew, and it... Like, Louis does a great bit on it. Just saying the word... I don't know when Jew is offensive and when it's not. I saw... Let me give you a good example.
It's not offensive.
Your dad did this.
It is offensive.
Listen to this. This is my favorite Manny Dorman. He's giving me a ride home, and you know how I'd be in the passenger side, and when he talked to me, he would turn the wheel like this, and we'd...
Veer off the
he
side.
Cut off a cab one night. We pull up to a red light. The cab driver rolls down his window, right? He looks like a fucking poster boy... Muhammad Atta. He looks like the poster boy for terrorism. And your father goes, "You fucking Jew." And the guy went crazy.
He didn't know how to react. Him.
And then your father rolls up and looks at me and starts laughing. Like he's done it a million times.
But that was a Jew calling another Jew.
No,
Jew.
That wasn't a Jew. And that's
but
why
I'm
he
saying,
was infuriated.
No, what I'm saying, he could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I could say, "Yo, you
white cracker."
No, you can say the N-word. You can say the N-word.
I can say the N-word.
Nick said...
Nick.
Well, Nick said it. He just said it.
Breath of fresh air.
Well, I assume we should, you know...
Yes.
You can say a Jew. It depends what your intention is when you say, but it's the word is not off limits.
No, but like, I came down here from Boston, and in Boston, I guess they were probably saying a derogatory context, but when I first moved to New York, I noticed, you know... People go, "Oh, he's a Jew," or whatever. But in a non-effect, because New York's a lot of Jewish people. But in Boston, it was always, you know, did you just say Jew? And no matter what the context was.
I mean, my father was very thick-skinned.
Oh, I said to your father, I go, "Manny," and I don't understand this. I go, why do so many people hate Jewish people? Your dad looks at me, he goes, "I don't know, but 6 billion people can't be wrong." Self-deprecating, funny, you know, and I didn't understand it. I actually,
you Rachel, didn't understand.
I didn't understand why Rachel Feinstein, a few years ago, I had lunch with her up in Montreal, and that came up. And I go, "I don't understand the hatred for Jews." And she said it was the Christ-killing thing. So I never even thought that angle.
Nobody really knows what it is. Nobody knows. Larry David said, "We are a bit much."
Larry David said, "Yeah, perfect, perfectly."
It really
said.
Is perfect.
But I've never had a problem with that. And you know, Barry Katz was my first manager, and
that didn't make you an anti-Semite.
It didn't. I still like him, even though he has a horrible reputation, a stereotypical reputation. But
and
I
a
really,
schnoz.
You know, but I really. I always defend, you know, if politics comes up. And,
and by the way, I like Barry, actually.
I do too.
Yeah, hey, man.
But I do. I just couldn't resist the joke.
But I didn't understand all the... I don't get that, but anyways.
Gilbert.
Well, Keith, you're black. Why do black people don't like Jews?
Landlords.
What's their beef?
It's not that. That's
that we expect the rent paid?
That's a... No.
You have the nerve to expect...
You're demanding Jews.
That's a certain... That's a stereotype.
I know.
You don't want mine Jews.
Well, you need lawyers every day.
The Jews always stood with us.
Oh, my God, that was offensive.
Civil rights movement and all that.
Yeah, that's true.
So what we say. You know, we're not...
You guys share a sorrow, you know.
So we don't.
But the statistics do show that the black community tends to be more anti-Semitic than other communities.
Who told you that?
I read it in National
Review.
Well,
that might just be.
No, you know who said it? Louis Farrakhan.
Come down. Louis Farrakhan don't represent all black people.
Oh, but he has 10,000 people at a rally. Apparently,
that's 10,000. Well, there's more than 10,000 black people.
Well, it's like, okay, 14,000 living in one apartment. Listen,
go ahead. Nick has a new special out.
Yes, Breath of Fresh Air is the name of the special.
Approaching 440,000 views on YouTube.
Wow.
Yes.
And it's free. You're not charging.
No, I'm not. And you're going to see a lot of comics do that. And I made the decision a long time ago after my last one, like 4 years ago, didn't get seen by anybody. I remember saying to my wife, Andy, we're putting this out. I need exposure. I want this on the internet. I remember Rogan chewing me out when I started my podcast that I was charging people. And he said, you got to put it all out there for free. I said, that's easy coming from you, who had $60 million in the bank. You're still getting checks from Fear Factor.
Yeah,
I'm trying to make a living. But he was right.
Yeah.
And this special, and we put a real provocative artwork on the cover. And we had 300,000 views in, 2 weeks? In less than 2 weeks. So it's still climbing because people are tired of the PC horseshit. And I've never been PC. It's not a deliberate choice on my part. It's how I've been traditional, you know, and it goes against all of what's going on today.
It occurred to me now, just for the first time, somebody probably said this before, but if you look back at the old model of the music business, it was always out there for free as well. The radio played the songs over and over and over. Imagine if you only could buy the song and there wasn't a place to hear it for free. You wouldn't be able to sell it.
Right.
You need both. You need a steady stream of content out there for free.
Yeah.
And then you can build.
Well, that's that model.
You can monetize it.
If you
somehow.
Have talent and no audience, it doesn't matter. Right. If you have audience and no talent, it doesn't matter. You can have one show and it's over. But if you have talent, you got to find the audience, and if that means you got to give it away for free, you're going to make it back, and that's
in ticket sales. Nick Griffin, I tweeted him a direct message because I know he just put a special. He's a solid comic, great comic,
excellent comic.
And I said to him, you know, I said the next one, Nick, I'm just giving you advice. I said because you're underexposed like I am. I said throw it out there, you know, and because it's a new ball game. People go, why do you live in Georgia? Because I don't need New York City anymore. You can make a living anywhere because of the internet. It's a new ballgame. He came in so laser-focused on how to get it done. I was a marketing major, 2.3, University of Maine. It's the thing I know least about. And I always said, if you show me a comedian who's a good marketer, I'll show you a hack and vice versa. But he came in with a plan, literally a two-page thing he sends me, a two-page email, what we're going to do, and we're executing it.
Yeah.
I needed this guy in my life to give me some discipline and to get a comic up at 6:30, 6:45 in the morning. I believe in this guy. You need somebody in your corner. And like Colin said years ago, when the industry keeps ignoring you, you know, I mean, you need a little love now and then.
Gilbert, who does your social media?
Bob Levy.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get advice from my social media?
No, do you have a social media presence?
Yeah, no. I don't have like a whole group of people working with me.
But are you on Twitter or
He's
Instagram?
He's got a podcast, don't you?
Yeah,
it's huge, right?
I have a podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
But it's very popular because I see the numbers.
Yeah.
Because you're, brilliantly funny.
Gilbert is a singular talent. There's nobody like him. There's one Gilbert.
Have you seen Nick's special, Breath of Fresh Air?
No, I don't remember the last comedy special I watched.
Me either.
I watch comedy special. You know, it's typical.
You heard it's free, Gilbert.
Yeah.
We send you three sweeten loaves and a pack of...
That's a selling point.
We sweeten the special with equal.
Hey, it's free.
By the way, Tommy, you have a club in Vegas now?
We're going to Labor
what
Day.
What the fuck?
I forgot all about Gnomes Club. I'm like, yeah, my manager's
I was there when Keith was there a couple of weeks ago. But it's,
scouting, huh?
No. Looking to see good talent, obviously. All the guys who were there were great. But it's different. It's a showroom. It's run by the casino. We're just, you know, it's our name, obviously, and we're helping them to.
But it's a showroom that looks like Sinatra will be singing it in 1958.
It's,
you know what I mean?
It's downtown. Yeah, it's not a draw from elsewhere in Vegas. No, I
hope it isn't, but I wouldn't
Tommy,
be mad at you or anything like that.
How long have you been coming down here, driving from Albany on Tuesdays and sitting in that corner?
A couple years.
2 years.
Yeah.
He soaks in stuff.
How did I not notice this guy?
He
looks like a running
So I've been doing this for a long time.
He was in the kitchen at like 7 years old working at his dad's comedy club. Yeah.
Dan came up years ago. I remember Dan from when I was like in high school coming up as hosting or featuring or something like that.
Where was I?
Was that
the Laughing Wolf? Because I bombed my ass off.
No, further up. That was Bob Wolf's club down in New Paltz.
Comedy
this one
Works.
Was further up. Yeah, it's a comedy.
I don't
works
recall ever being at a comedy.
How come
works,
you never introduced yourself?
You must have me confused.
I met you one time.
You did?
I'm sorry. Another diminutive.
That's not why I'm here.
So Nick, on your special, tickle our taste buds. I've seen the special, but for those who haven't, tickle our taste buds with what topics one might hear. On the special?
Again, I'm not wholly political, not yet. But I mentioned the 2016 election. That's when I started getting political, and some of the stories that came out of it. Like the most popular joke, I think, was Bernie Sanders. I had two good jokes about him. One of them's in the preview. And Bernie Sanders, this came out during the election, he used to write erotica for a magazine here in New York. Yes. He wrote an article, and he said in the article, when women having sex with their husbands is secretly fantasizing about being raped by three guys at once. And I said, that's how you know he's a real socialist. Even in his rape fantasies, we're sharing the pussy three ways. And then I said, he lost for a couple reasons. It was rigged against Hillary. And number two, he couldn't get the black vote. He could not get the black vote. I kept emailing him, change your first name to Colonel. And
nothing, Keith?
Keith?
That was funny. I love Nick. You know that.
Yeah, so. Keith. No, Keith. He's been, and I love Keith. And I go after Hillary. And this is who I use as a model, Bill Hicks, who was a left winger. He's a lip. But he used to get so hateful when he talked about Rush Limbaugh being, he goes, doesn't Rush Limbaugh look like a gay guy that lays in a tub and lets his friends pee on him and shit? And I took that type of fucking vitriol and I applied it to Hillary.
Well,
and people, it's a different time. Hicks did that 25 years ago. But this is the shit you're going to get. I really fucking hate liberalism and I think it should be eradicated.
But don't you think all of it should? That's my main point.
You keep lumping it all together.
No, it does.
It's not all.
Because it's all bullshit.
You sound like Patrice. It's not all bullshit.
So wait a minute. You think the right is all really good, doing saying good shit?
No.
All right then.
He sounds like Patrice, is that what he said?
No, yeah, no. I'm saying that it's all bullshit.
The left does this. This is what they say. They always go, it's bigger than left and right. And I say to them, I'd be saying that too if I was on the left today, trying to squelch free speech. Kicking Steven Crowder off, trying to make money. They're crushing people for trying to make money on YouTube. Right wingers. Fucking Twitter made some woman who's a pro-life, famous pro-life woman. They said you can't put any more ads up that show pictures of sonograms.
Really?
Yeah. That was in. This is what I'm talking about.
That's crazy. Why does Steven Crowder get?
Let me say
off?
This, though.
I'll tell you.
Can I say this? Because y'all really are not understanding this shit.
We get
it's
it.
Happening. I have a friend who's on the left side. Because of her political stance on the left, they threw her off of Facebook. They threw her off.
And I'm saying, Keith, and I'm saying that's wrong, number one. But number two, for every lefty that gets kicked off Facebook, there's 150 righties. You can't argue that the people who run the big tech companies aren't left-wingers. They're not even trying to hide it. They came out and said... Did you read yesterday, Vox? It's a webpage, Vox. Gay Latino.
Ezra Klein, yeah.
Yeah, there's a gay Latino guy on there. He's an activist. He described himself as queer in his profile and an activist, blah, blah, blah. And this is in his profile on Twitter. And Tucker Carlson is a white supremacist. That's in his profile. Now, Steven Crowder made fun of him being gay and
is
Latino.
Is Steven Crowder gay?
I don't know.
It matters.
I don't know.
I think he is. He
But anyways, that's all he did.
Yeah.
So this guy like you said, got a mob together.
Yeah.
And YouTube said, well, it's not quite against our policies what he said. Then 2 days later, they changed their mind. They won't let him monetize. And they went after three other conservatives. And they said it right, and we won't put up with this alt-right shit. They're the ones, the left is determining.
What is alt-right, really? I mean,
it's me, I guess.
What are the tenets of alt-rightism?
Oh, I don't know. You're proud of your country. You believe in the Constitution and protecting your borders.
You know what? Let me tell you what makes me laugh about all this horse shit that Nick is yapping about. Like, I'm fucking with you, Nick. But when Donald Trump, right, was running his mouth about the NFL players, right? All that disrespecting the troops. He's damn near pissing on Jonathan Cain's grave. He's a troop. He's a hero.
Pissing on whose grave?
John McCain.
Oh, John McCain, yeah.
He's a troop, right? He's one of the troops, right?
McCain?
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I hated when he said he wasn't a hero.
Right.
Okay, I hated that, but I also hate when McCain took it to another level.
That's politics.
I know.
Nick,
in the special, you said you love Donald Trump as a politician.
Yeah.
What's your problem? You've made your point. It's on the left and on the right.
No, I didn't make my point.
Censorship on both sides. We get it.
Dan, you are the fucking, you're the worst host I've ever seen in my life.
I would like feedback from the
fun. We had a little roll going on, and you want to say what you want to say that don't have nothing to do with nothing.
We have followed
a conversation, at least.
But the conversation has run its course.
No,
career.
You stink. As a host, you stink.
Keith. Oh, Keith.
No.
Keith,
and
listen.
And the conversation is like, hey,
I
McCain.
Hey, no.
Bob, Bob, McCain.
Can you turn that down?
So,
that is killing me.
So, Nick, when you talk. Follow the conversation, at least.
I'm following it. I have decided that it has run its course.
No, but...
Now, you're welcome to disagree.
No, but just please follow the conversation.
But you're repeating yourself.
So you don't stop fun.
Yes, you're repeating yourself.
But Keith,
I'm talking about McCain.
Yeah, Nick agrees with you.
Because you don't like me as a host. I hate you as a host.
That's fair, and you're entitled to your opinion.
It's not like you. I hate you as a host.
You know, you're certainly entitled to that opinion.
You know why he hates you? Because your opinion doesn't fit in with his narrative, and that's what they do. They turn it to hate.
Who? Who's they?
The black and the colored people.
I can't find if Stephen Crowder's gay. I could have sworn he was.
I met him once. But Keith was instrumental in me getting pegged as a right winger on Tough Crowd. You and I were arguing. You laughed at this. You actually were in agreement. I went off one night about the commercials and how husbands portrayed as weak, the women strong, the black guy has the nice suit on, the white guy in the office is an idiot. And I said that 20-something years ago. Now people are jumping on the bandwagon. And that's when I got pigeonholed. You were laughing your ass off, too, because you know it's true. Let me say it first. Go ahead.
It was true.
But I said they're cultural Marxists, these guys that are writing this shit.
Yeah.
And people.
But Nick, which is special.
Yes, sir.
That's what Dan does.
Yeah, because it's called. You know
what?
On Tough Crowd.
That's what he does.
On Tough Crowd,
now,
the last time you worked.
Did this special.
All right. The last time you worked, which was Tough Crowd, you might remember.
Dan, I've done more things than you than you've done in a lifetime.
He put on a good special.
Don't stop.
You might remember they had segments.
Let me
commercial breaks and segments.
But
we don't have commercial breaks.
Dan.
So we have to have.
When a conversation's being
Gilbert
had, let me tell you how a conversation goes. Hold up.
Go ahead.
When a conversation is being had, listen. Just listen to the flow. Either go with the flow or shut the fuck up. Bam. Now you can continue.
We have to say goodbye now to our dear friend, Mr. Keith Robinson.
All right, but I certainly do
appreciate him stopping by.
I do want to say this.
I'm not Ray Allen.
Keith.
Remember that. So,
Keith.
Go.
So I just want, you know, we have to wind up. I just want to say something because I don't think you dispute this. If this radio If anybody were to say something on this radio show that got the Comedy Cellar in hot water, whether it was me or Nick or anybody, Dan or anybody.
We'll find out.
It
after.
Could only be something that offended the left. There is nothing left-wing I could ever say. There is no left-wing position, including, yeah, I think it's okay to, even a day after birth, I think it's okay for a baby to be killed. I think that's okay. That I can say that nobody will do a thing to the Comedy Cellar. There will be nobody showing up outside. Right. But if I am too strong against affirmative action, it's risky. And that's what Nick is saying.
That's all I'm saying.
No, I didn't say I disagree with that.
I don't think you disagree with that.
Nick, true or false?
I want to make the point because I think that's where Nick is coming
from. Well, you got to know who runs the business, that's all. And it's Gnome's people.
Who runs the business?
We sure do, goddammit.
The Amish, you know, Keith, you've been in trouble.
True or false, America should remain a majority white country.
True or false?
It's not going to happen.
False.
No, I would say false.
It's ended.
As long as we vet these people, and I'm with Trump on this, and use a merit-based system, and don't, you know, they have to have a fucking be able to speak English. At some point, assimilation became considered racist to make somebody learn the language. There's only culture holds the what? Go ahead.
You've just been fired from the alt-right.
Probably. Maybe,
but I do think that is one of their main principles.
I'm not a real right. I got labeled. Look, we're in show business. It's very liberal. I've said this to you and your dad. If you lean right on 2 of 10 issues or 2 of 50 issues, you're labeled a Nazi in show business.
But you don't want to be known as alt-right.
I don't.
No.
And it depends what the definition of alt-right is. But they're saying guys like me are alt-right.
I think
Gold's one of my favorite comics. Oh, yeah, that's a fucking
I think
alt-right
the definition
position.
Of alt-right, if I had to boil it down, would be white nationalism. Would be
is that wrong though? Is white? I'm white, right? I guess Keith says I'm a little black, so. But I consider myself white.
10%.
And I love this country and believe it is the best thing that's ever happened to this planet. Pull more people out of poverty. I'm not supposed to say that I'm a white nationalist.
No, the word white nationalist has a particular meaning.
Well, over the years it got bastardized.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? What is a white nationalist to you?
A white nationalist
who just believes in
somebody essentially who's sympathetic to the views of the KKK.
That's what it turned into.
Yeah. So when you say it now, that's what it means. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
People are pushing back against that.
So whatever it is that you're trying to say, you have to find a different way to say it.
Okay. Well, the other thing I was saying, how the left controls speech. Like this saying, the left says, a guy like me, if I say the word globalist, it's code for Jew.
Yeah, I don't...
And I said, maybe they get a point. I was trying to sell my car to the other guy. The guy was really globaling me down. And that's in the special. And I said, I need a good cardiologist. Is there a globalist in the house? You know, and that's... How do you argue with that? That's just a funny joke. And I gave Sean Hannity... I was on Hannity's show once, and I did this joke. Obama... It just passed some spending bill.
Can you watch your mouth, please?
No, Obama, I like to smoke weed with him, play hoops, but he's a fucking moron. But I said this on Hannity. I said, they said, why is he putting so much pork in this spending bill? And I said, maybe he's trying to prove he's not a Muslim. It's a pork.
And they read it?
Well, no, Hannity got white. Oh, and he went right to the next guest. Now, you know, it's like, I got people on the left who loved that joke because they thought I was taking a dig at the right. And I got people on the right who loved that joke because they thought I was taking a dig at Obama. That's, like, to me, the perfect joke. But Hannity, my point is, we should have laughed at it. He turned white.
Yeah. Well, he's in a pickle, but, yeah, it's a funny joke. Also, you know, he has a fraction of a second to think it through. And he knows it's the kind of joke which might be fraud. It might, you know.
And the Fox News, which is a brand. That's why I stopped doing Gutfeld. I mean, it's, you know, this is when it was on at 2 in the morning and nobody's watching it.
Right.
I got away with a lot of stuff. Then he had his new show. And, you know, you say, you can't really do comedy on a brand news network. You know what I mean? You can't say something off color.
You find Gutfeld funny?
At times.
I find him funny.
At times.
You find him funny?
No.
Nah.
No, yeah, sometimes.
I think he's funny.
Sometimes.
I find Rachel Maddow hilarious. Is anything more humorless than a fucking woman that's far left?
All right.
She's smart, though.
She's brilliant. She's brilliant. She had Trump being put in jail. She had his tax returns. She made such an ass of herself. Wait till Trump is not a president anymore. You watch CNN and MSNBC, the fold-up shop, because their ratings for the last 2 years have been based on Donald Trump. When he goes away, he exposed them. I don't care what you say. You can like him, hate him. He exposed the fucking media for what it is.
lying left scum. And that's why I hated George Bush, George W. Bush, because every time somebody said something mean, he would turn the other cheek, and that got us Obama.
Can I say one more thing?
I know we got, is it
one
about
more
Dan?
Thing. No, there's one more thing.
Yeah.
That the only thing I, you know, they keep saying left. Fox does nothing but lie.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah, they lie.
Okay.
If they lie, what is CNN doing if they lie? CNN,
I say that.
You don't watch the news. You're trying to get laid and taking your stroke pills. Come on.
No, I take two stroke pills a day. That's it.
I think you missed one today.
What I'm saying is when you take a side.
That was true
then
years
you
ago,
take
Dave.
The wrong side.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of a great hour with special thanks to Nick DiPaolo, Gilbert Gottfried, Tommy Nicky, that's your
Tommy
name?
Nicky.
Tommy Nicky.
Thank my you. Manager, agent, and all-around body.
You know, I'm going to have your agent fired from you.
You're going to separate.
Keith Robinson.
I was just trying to go to the bathroom downstairs. You guys made me sit down.
Keith Robinson and my co-host who will be here no matter what every week. We don't care what Keith Robinson thinks about his flow. The great Mr.
He's
Dan Natterman.
Is as flow. Funny as anybody. You'll see.
He's got to get a better flow.
No, he's fucking killer. Funny.
All right. He's got to get a better
Periel,
flow.
Periel, you want
Periel?
And I'm sorry I called you an idiot. I was just being funny. Goodbye, everybody. Good night.